Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, July 29th. I'm Brian Shields in for Alan Shartok. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, working to bring doctors closer together to collaborate and closer to the hospital to improve patient care. I trust SaratogaHospital.org for information. Joining us today, Dr. Pierre Boutin. She is an orthopedic surgeon with more than 25 years' experience, currently practicing at Fairview Hospital in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. The doctor joins us to answer your orthopedic and osteoporosis questions. 800-348-2551, the number to call. It's 800-348-2551. Vox Pop next on WAMC. Thank you for joining us today on Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. It's Medical Monday today, and Dr. Pierre Boutin of Fairview Hospital in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, is here to answer your orthopedic and osteoporosis questions. She's a board-certified orthopedic surgeon, more than 25 years of experience, a native of Quebec, and graduate of the University of Ottawa Medical School. She trained in total joint replacement with a specialization in sports medicine at the University of Florida. Her areas of expertise include arthritis, sports injuries, fractures, osteoporosis, and menopausal symptoms. Dr. Boutin organized and coordinated a medical team to treat the injured in the aftermath of the devastating 2010 earthquake in Haiti. She is also a medical expert for Women's Health Network. That's an online health magazine. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org or the phone number again, 800-348-2551. Doctor, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, when we're kids, we break a bone. You go to the hospital, they put a cast on it. It heals pretty much, and you're on your way. But not when you get older. If you break a bone, say you're over 50 or 60, it can really be a problem.
Well, it means a lot more than just the pain. It affects your whole life, your lifestyle, your ability to work. And it's often an indicator of a bigger picture. There might be some other associated medical issues that are ongoing that have to be addressed. Sometimes it's a red flag for something a lot more serious.
Such as heart disease, cancer perhaps?
Associated, yes. Diabetes, right. other conditions that cause inflammation also cause osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is a type of inflammation that wears down at the bones.
And as we get older, we really worry about falls and the breaks it can cause. But one fall that we really want to avoid is breaking a hip, because you said 50% of men who break a hip will die within a year. That's
scary.
I didn't know that.
That's really scary.
Why? Is it infection sets in, or what's the problem?
No. By the time a man breaks a bone, men's bones are a little bit stronger than women's bone. They have thicker bones, bigger cortices. And by the time they break a bone, the bones have gotten really thin. And it's usually a process where there's some other associated illness. So as soon as a man breaks a bone, he's no longer walking, he's not feeding himself properly, all the other issues become, other medical problems take over, and many of them don't survive.
Are some bones more breakable than others? For instance, a hip, does a hip maybe snap quicker than a leg or an arm?
No, actually, under 75, the most common broken bone is a wrist.
Yeah.
And after 75, it's a hip. But there's, you know, if you break a wrist before 75, it's an indicator that you might break a hip after 75.
Yeah.
So address the broken bone at 60 or 70 to avoid the broken hip.
800-348-2551. This is Medical Monday Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551. Jim, go ahead, in Matamoros.
Leg prosthesis and actually shoe bear. Knee joint diseases supposed to resolve as the patient gets older?
I'm sorry, Ashler's shoe bear?
I believe so. Ischbrecher Serein Kleine Deutsch.
No, I'm afraid we...
Can you give us more information?
Yeah.
Well, they're usually diseases of young kids, an aseptic necrosis.
I see. Aseptic necrosis of the hip, where the circulation to the femoral head, to the ball of the hip joint, dies, where the bone starts to collapse. Now, it did, there's a whole bunch of different degrees you can of this type of condition. And in some mild cases, the area fills in with cartilage, and these kids grow up, and they can be active, and they do very well. But in some other kids where it involves most of the head, of the femoral head and the hip joint, then they have a bigger problem, and they do often end up needing surgery, and it really definitely affects their sport career. It depends how badly the femoral head is involved.
Thank you very much for calling, Jim. The number to call, 800-348-2551. Arthur in Pauling. Go ahead, Arthur.
Yes, I'd like to know about what the doctor thinks of the relationship between supplementation with vitamin K and the retention of calcium in the bones.
I love that question. That is such a good question. Vitamin K, I think, is now my favorite vitamin. It's really important for so many reasons. So we tell all our patients, you know, you have to make sure you take calcium and you have to take some vitamin D. Well, vitamin D increases the absorption of calcium. So all of a sudden, you have a lot of calcium in your blood and it doesn't know where to go. It can either go in the plaques around your heart vessels and cause a heart attack. It can go into your kidneys and make a kidney stone, or it can go into the bones. It really, the calcium doesn't, it needs help. So the vitamin K acts like an usher. It literally grabs the vitamin, the calcium, and brings it into the bone. So for bone building and bone protection, vitamin K is just as important as vitamin D and calcium. They work together. Not only that, anybody that's at risk for a heart disease needs to talk to their heart doctors about being on vitamin K. It's a good vitamin for inflammation, for your heart, and for your bones.
Okay, and you did K1, K2, and K3?
Okay, so the active form is K2. And vitamin K is in a lot of foods, like spinach, broccoli, tomatoes, liver, eggs. Vitamin K is in a lot of foods. The problem is if you have any digestive issues, or where the bacteria, the microbiome of your gut is abnormal, then you may not be converting regular vitamin K to the active form of vitamin K2. So it's better if there's any question at all about digestive issues to take the active form, and that's K2. A lot of the supplements only have K or K1. I usually ask my patients to take at least a combination of that that includes K2.
All right, so you actually do recommend taking a K2 supplement.
I do.
All right.
Well, that is absolutely marvelous.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. You don't hear a lot about vitamin K. It's not up there with the A's and C's and the D's.
It should be.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really should be. And I think it will be. We just wait 5 years from now. We'll all be talking about vitamin K2.
Is it often in those vitamin pills for the over 50 crowd that we see advertised on TV?
Often not.
Silver
and
whatever.
And not enough.
Yeah.
And it's usually not the K2, the active form.
So K2
so
is
you
the
usually
one
have
you
to take it separately or take it with vitamin D. There's a great liposomal vitamin D with D3 with K2 combination that I really like, and it's a sublingual form, so it's absorbed really well, especially for people that have digestive issues.
All right, how do we take care of our bones before we get old? I mean, I know you mentioned calcium, exercise. What else can we do to protect
them? I wish we could. You know, I shouldn't be having this conversation with 60-year-olds. I should be having this conversation with 20-year-olds. We build our peak bone mass between 15 and 25 to 30. That's when we build up the max bone, and there's a big genetic factor to that. So you want to build the best bones you can before you're 30 and lose the least you can after that. And in order to build the max bone, you have to exercise. You have to not smoke.
Right.
I mean, smoking is the worst deterrent. Sodas is the next worst one. Sodas is very acidic, especially dark sodas. Like a Coca-Cola has both phosphoric acid and carbonic acid. It is very acidic, and that causes inflammation, which eats away at bone. And even the American diet. I mean, you have to eat healthy, and you have to exercise. and not smoke between 15 and 35, and you might make it okay.
Are bad bones hereditary? If your father, your grandfather had weak bones, I mean, is it like heart disease? Can it run in the family?
There's a certain proportion of it. Your peak bone mass has a major genetic component. 50 to 80% of your maximum bone formation is genetically determined. Mm-hmm. But there's another 50% that you can control. So parts of it is genetic. I mean, if you're blonde, blue-eyed, freckled, you're a lot higher risk.
800-348-2551 is the number to call. This is Medical Monday with Dr. Bhutan, and we're talking osteoporosis and orthopedics today. 800-348-2551. Back in a moment.
Support comes from the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting various shows and concerts and providing rental space for business, personal, and creative events. TheLinda.org. Mass Renaissance Fair featuring jousting, body bards, fire performances, magic, food, and craft vendors, and activities for all ages. This weekend at the Cummington Fairgrounds, Sunday is Pet Day. MassRenFair.com. Albany Cardiothoracic Surgeons, providing patient-centered heart surgery for over 40 years in the Capital Region. Practicing cardiac surgery at St. Peter's Hospital, ACTSURG.com. And from the 46th Annual Berkshire Crafts Fair, a juried exhibition featuring photography and painting, August 9th through 11th at Monument Mountain Regional High School, Great Barrington. 10 to 5 daily, BerkshireCraftsFair.org.
The number to call, 800-348-2551. Also, tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Our guest today, Dr. Pierre Bhutan of Fairview Hospital in Great Barrington. It's all about orthopedics and osteoporosis today. 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Betty in Lakeville, Connecticut. Betty?
Hi. I had a question about the treatments for osteoporosis. I know there's like Fosamax, which can be daily or weekly, and then other ones that are an injection every 6 months or year. Given that bone pain is a sometimes side effect of both of these, would it not be better to take the Fosamax because then it has a much shorter half-life and also a smaller dose?
Hey, Betty, that's actually a really good question. Bone pain does occur after any of these medications, anti-resorptive medications. It's rare, but it does happen, and it's usually in people that have a really high what's called bone turnover. They're breaking down bone too fast, and that's usually in patients that have cancer or some other secondary illnesses that causes the breakdown of bone. And you can test for that ahead of time, so you can almost predict who might get some bone pain as a side effect. So that can help you determine if you want to be on Fosamax or if you want to be on one of the injectable. The problem with Fosamax that we found over the years is that people start skipping. It's once a week, they forget about it, they're worried about the side effects, and they're not consistent. So the results that we get from the shots is a lot better than in most patients, it's a lot better than what we get from the pills. But if you're worried about it,
you're a very compliant person, though, and also, what side effects do you get from Fosamax that might cause you to not continue?
It's hard to take. So you have to get up in the morning and not eat, take the pill with a lot of water, and maybe 2 8-ounce glasses of water, and then you can't eat for 2 hours, and you can't lie down. So it affects your morning routine. It's a whole routine to take this medication. It's not just, I'm going to pop a pill and go to work kind of thing. Or I'm going to lie by it down kind of thing. So it gets in the way sometimes. And so that's what. But if you're an incredibly reliable person, it's a good idea to try it for 3 months and see if it works for you. If you don't have any side effects, then go ahead and take the shot. Because the shot is a lot. The results are great, and it's so much easier.
And if you do have not high bone turnover, or the risk is very, very low of getting the bone pain thing?
All the side effects are extremely, extremely low. You know, by the time you're ready for one of these medications, your risk for a broken bone are so high compared to your risk of a complication. You have to weigh one against the other. But yes, if your bone turnover is low, your chance of one of these side effects is extremely low. Another thing, don't just do the medication. You've got to do the diet, and you've got to do the supplements and the exercise and the stress, you know, adjust your stress. It's really important that you're gut is working well and that you're eating a healthy diet, really low in sugar and white carbohydrates and no salt at all.
Earlier,
or at least minimal salt. You know, it's hard to avoid salt. But, you know, those are the things. If you're going to bother with the medication, you've got to do everything.
I started the program sort of dismissive of childhood breaks. But if you break your arm at the playground when you're 12 and if they set it right at the hospital, will that come back to haunt you later on? Could a broken bone in childhood make it more difficult to get through old age with your bones?
Well, there's two things. If you break a bone and the break goes through a joint or affects the movement of a joint, later on in life you could end up with arthritis and problems. It's a different issue, not so much osteoporosis. But we found that those kids that are, you know, early teenagers, even before that, 8 or 9 years old, all the way to 15, if they have several breaks in that period of time, there's a correlation with those kids and the ones that are going to end up with osteoporosis.
Right.
So they are not building the right kind of bone right from the start. The bone matrix is not that solid to start with. And those are the people that you have to worry about. Now, just one break is not a big deal. Mm-hmm. That might just be a fluke. They had a bad fall from the monkey bars.
Yeah, and of course, there's different types. There's hairline fractures all the way to compound, which come
absolutely
right out of the leg or the arm, which are pretty gruesome, right?
Yeah. The typical osteoporotic fracture are where the bone widens. So you've got the long, thin bone of the upper arm or the forearm that widens as it gets towards the wrist. That widened part, when it breaks in several pieces, is typical of an osteoporotic fracture.
800-348-2551. Karen in Niskayuna. Karen, go ahead.
Hi there. Hi, doctor. I'm a 55-year-old woman who has run throughout my adult life at varying levels of intensity. And I've noticed just in the past few years, if I decide to take an off day and go for an intense walk instead, or if a friend asks me to go for a walk, within about 3 miles, I have searing pain in both of my hips. So my question for you is, am I crashing my hips because of all of the running? And if that's the case, how come I don't feel that pain at all when I run, even at a long distance?
I don't think so. And
okay.
Karen, that's a good question. Your pain is probably on the outside of your hip where the bone is, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, so there's very different technique to running and walking. Your body has been trained for years for running. And now you're walking. And when we walk, we swing our hips from side to side. And we often end up with a bursitis on the side of the hips. And what you're describing is typical of somebody that's trained for running and not walking. It's actually hip deterioration doesn't cause pain on the side of the hip. It causes pain in the groin. So you most likely do not have that. It's just your technique in walking, and most fast walkers, because runners usually end up walking pretty fast, end up swinging their hips, and that causes a bit of a bursitis. You're going to have, and you're in shape probably for, you know, walking 10 miles, as far as your lungs, but not those leg muscles. They're running muscles, not walking muscles. You're going to have to retrain them just like you first trained for running.
Can you do that when you're alternating, though?
Yeah, but you're going to have to shorten your distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Shorten my distance running, meaning?
No, walking. Isn't that crazy? Shorten your distance walking and do more IT band stretching.
Okay.
And hamstring stretching.
That's a good one.
Yep.
All right. And then gradually, do you think I'll be able to build up where I can get past the pain point?
Absolutely.
Like after 3 miles? Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's no doubt.
All right. Awesome. Great. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. 800-348-2551. Tracy is in Saugerties. Tracy, go ahead.
Hi, doctor. I had a compression fracture in June 5th. and my orthopedic doctor wants to do kyphoplasty on August 12th. Am I healed by this time? Should I'm kind of concerned about, I'm not having the terrible pain that I had in the beginning. I'm more or less, you know, but I still can't like lift things or stuff like that. Does that heal? Would I be healed by this time, or should I go ahead and have the kyphoplasty?
Okay, that's really smart thing to question. Yes. Do you know what the percentage compression was? 20%, 30%, 40% compression? You're not sure? Okay. So we do a kyphoplasty. What that is we inject cement in the vertebrae that's broken in order to alleviate the pain. It's to be done only for pain relief. So if you're not having a lot of pain anymore, I would definitely question having it done. There is a reason why we delay it and don't do it right away, because if it's a fresh fracture, the cement can leak out and touch the spinal cord, and then you have with some major complications. So we don't want to do a fresh fracture. So at 6 weeks, if you're not having that much pain, by the way, a compression fracture usually hurts for 3 to 6 months. Not that the bone's not healed, but all the ligaments around it, and, you know, it's a big injury, and it hurts for a while, and you have to learn to stretch, and, you know.
Well, I have pain, but it's not like it was originally.
Right. That lingering pain is going to last 3 to 6 months, so don't get discouraged, and be active. Don't be afraid of this pain. Stretch and strengthen your stomach, strengthen your back. But this is your calling card to treat your osteoporosis.
Okay.
This is just somebody telling you, you know, you've got to do something about it, and there's a lot you can do.
Okay.
But
okay.
I would think twice about the kyphoplasty. The new studies, we're doing them less and less.
Thank you very much, Tracy. 800-348-2551. You just mentioned cement. Is that the kind of cement they make the sidewalks out of?
Not quite, but it gets hard like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it hardens in there just like the stuff outside.
Yeah, it's the same stuff we use to implant the total hips and the total knees to make them solid into the bone. It's the type of cement that we use.
800. Yeah. I've never heard of cement in the body, but 800-348-2551. Let's see. In Troy, it's Joyce. Go ahead, Joyce. Hi, Joyce.
Hello. I am taking Prolia. I was told that it would halt my osteoporosis, but I just listened to your conversation with someone discussing Fosamax and Prolia. So apparently it does not stop osteoporosis without a good diet and exercise.
Well, it might, but if you it does slow down the osteoclastic activity. Osteoclasts are the cells that eat away at the bone, that take down the bone, and it does slow that down. But if you're still eating a lot of salt, or if you're still eating a lot of sugar and sweets, or drinking alcohol, or if you're on a high-dose prednisone, its ability to work is markedly diminished. So you want to make sure you do all the things that you can to slow down.
I don't drink. I don't drink. I don't smoke.
Good. And you don't eat much bread or pasta or sweets or sodas.
I do like pasta. I do like pasta.
Yeah.
I don't eat red meat. I don't want to bother taking time to cook it. I don't want to cook at all, but I have to eat. So.
and salt. Salt is a really dangerous one.
I don't use a lot of salt.
Good. So when maybe you're already doing all the good things. But Prolia works really well. The only thing I have to tell you about Prolia, I really love Prolia. It's an anti-rankle antibody. It's really similar to what we produce in the body. There's minimal reaction to Prolia. It's a shot every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But the studies show that after you've been on it for 3 or 6 years, however long you need to be on it, you do lose a bit of what you've gained. And the recommendation is that you do 1 year of Reclast, which is the other medication, the one that you only do that you do once a month, so that you don't lose what you've gained.
Reclast?
Yes. Reclast.
Okay.
They recommend you do that for a year after you decide to stop Prolia, just to make sure you don't lose what you've gained.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people go on Prolia and they stay on it the rest of their life. Prolia is great.
Well, for a while I had terrible, exhausting pain in my right knee, and then it has abated. I still get stabs of pain where it hurts a little. Could I have bone on bone, or might I also have arthritis in my knee?
Bone-on-bone and arthritis are exactly the same thing. Arthritis means, itis means inflammation, and arthro means joint, so it's an inflammation of the joint. And mm-hmm. what that causes is a deterioration of the cartilage where the bone starts to touch the bone. So I'm pretty sure what you're describing is arthritis of the knee joint, which is so bad that it could be down to bone, but on bone. That is not related or not caused by your osteoporosis. I have to say, though, there's a caveat here. People who have osteoporosis, their arthritis deteriorates faster. They have a faster deterioration of the arthritis. It doesn't cause arthritis, but the arthritis gets worse faster if you have osteoporosis.
Does everybody get arthritis eventually, just a little bit maybe, as you get older? No,
it's incredible. I see some 90-year-old people active still climbing who do not have it. But those are rare.
Yeah.
Most people eventually, and you can get two kinds of arthritis. There's a kind that is mechanical. You literally wore your joints out. You played soccer, you're in construction worker, you're literally really hard on your joints, or you had an injury when you were young and went through the joint. And then there's a kind of an inflammatory arthritis. It's a subclinical inflammation where your joints are stiff in the morning, you don't feel really good, you got to loosen up before you can get going in the morning. That slowly destroys joints, and a lot of it is to blame on our diet.
Really?
Causes inflammation. Yeah.
What about weightlifting and resistance training? Does that build up bones or just muscle?
No, it builds up bone.
Yeah.
But again, there's another caveat here. Exercise is really important for overall health and for osteoporosis. But as far as building bone, exercise works best when you have hormones, sex hormones. So that means from the time you're 15 to 30, 40, 50 is the best time to build bone with exercise. After you go through menopause, or after you get a little bit older and mm-hmm. men start losing their testosterone, to build bones with exercise is very difficult. We hope that exercise does two things at that age, that it stops the deterioration and it reduces the number of falls. So that means there is an association that people who exercise have less broken bones, even not only younger people, but older people, but they have less falls. It takes two things to break a bone. You have to fall,
right,
and you have to have bad bones.
Bones just can't break. Can I?
It could get to that point.
Yeah.
It can, but those are rare.
That's rare.
It can.
800-348-2551 to Wilmington, Vermont. Joel, go ahead, Joel.
Hi, I have PMR, and I've had it probably since February, and I was on prednisone. Started at 25 milligrams, worked my way down to 2.5 and stopped, and then it came back. So I'm back at 7.5 milligrams. I'd like to know, how long can I stay on prednisone, and what causes PMR?
What is PMR, first of all?
It's an inflammation of the vessels, and it can be very dangerous. So you have to be on this medication. It's not an option. So don't try to get off of it early. Stay on it as long as you need to be on it. And sometimes people are on it for a year, sometimes for several years.
I thought it's dangerous to take too much prednisone.
Prednisone, it does eat away at bones, but it's more dangerous to get the complications of PMR than to be on prednisone. So, yes, it's good to come down. You're on pretty low dose, 2.5. That's great. But don't worry so much about that. You're right. Being on prednisone for a while starts destroying your bones. But there's a lot you can do. Look at your diet. Look at exercise. Take all the right supplements. Make sure to take your calcium, your vitamin D, your vitamin K, your magnesium. Make sure that you've got a healthy microbiome, that your gut digestion is good. Make sure you eat a healthy diet and that you exercise. You can't get off the prednisone this PMR can be critical. So you don't have a choice here. You have to do all the other things and be aware that you might develop osteopenia or osteoporosis. And if you do, catch it early and treat it right away.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Now, there's prednisone and prednisolone. Are there two different things?
Yeah, prednisone is a drug that you take by the mouth, and prednisolone is a cream or a shot.
Oh, so that's the only difference.
He's taking prednisone.
800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 to Pittsfield. Fran, go ahead.
Hi. What's the difference between orthopedics and rheumatology? Then I have another one more question.
Okay, so orthopedic surgeons, we take care of the musculoskeletal system from a more of a mechanical point of view. So arthritis, fractures, injuries, that's the main focus of osteo, or muscle injuries or sports injuries, that's the main focus of osteo, orthopedics. Rheumatology is more of a systemic, it's more of a medical practice. It's where you look at the inflammation or inflammatory type of arthritis, like lupus, psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory type of arthritis. But, you know, one of them is a surgeon and the other one is a medical doctor, like an internist or it doesn't do surgery.
And can my second question was, can you have both osteoporosis and rheumatoid arthritis? Can you
Absolutely. Have both of them? Most people with rheumatoid arthritis have osteoporosis.
Okay, because I was told by one doctor a while ago that I had one, and now I'm going to an ortho, a rheumatology person for something else. So.
Okay,
so
if you have rheumatoid arthritis, it's an inflammation. And like I said before, osteoporosis is also inflammation. So they go hand in hand. And the medication for rheumatoid arthritis is often prednisone. And again, like the last caller said, prednisone, you know, eats away at bone. So you're at high risk for bone loss. You have to be, get your bone density test and follow that closely. You're at higher risk.
Okay, all right, then... they gave me something else now that I'm taking once a week, and I take 6 tablets to get to stop taking the prednisone.
6 tablets, then 5 tablets, then 4 tablets? 1 tablet less a day?
Yeah, 6 tablets once a week I take of this new one. Begins with an M. I don't remember what it was right now because I just started it.
I don't know.
No. Not
okay.
sure, but thank you very much for calling.
Thank you so much for explaining the difference.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Medical Monday, back with more in a moment.
Support comes from Adirondack Oral Surgery, serving the Capital Region and beyond, accepting most commercial and managed care insurance plans, offering a range of oral and maxillofacial surgery. AdirondackOralSurgery.com. Nathan Litauer Hospital, Gloversville, New York, less than 50 minutes from Albany, offering minimally invasive procedures for back pain with Dr. Shen and Dr. Popper. NLH.org. From Hudson Valley Cancer Genetics, providing cancer risk assessment, genetic testing, and consultations for patients, survivors, and their family members under the supervision of Dr. Hannah Brooks. HudsonValleyCancerGenetics.com. And from Button Box, Sunderland, Massachusetts, makers of Armour's concertinas, also selling new and used concertinas and accordions, and providing repairs and accessories. ButtonBox.com.
800-348-2551. It's Medical Monday, Orthopedics and Osteoporosis today with Dr. Pierre Boutin of Fairview Hospital in Great Barrington. Again, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. And let's go to New Paltz. Madeline in New Paltz, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 34. I've just had a baby, and I have a very rare form of osteoporosis caused by pregnancy and lactation. Came on very suddenly. When my baby was 2 months old, I started fracturing. So I fractured. I've been told I have 4 major compression fractures and 4 more kind of minor compression fractures. And I'm healing slowly at home. I was in rehab. I'm wearing a back brace and I get PT. The question I have, I guess, is about healing so many fractures at once. And sometimes I feel like my pain, like this morning, I woke up with this pain at the base of my spine that was very intense. And as I moved around, it got better. Now it's sort of settled into where my thoracic fractures are. And sometimes when I have that pain, I get scared to do my exercises. I get scared to move. How do I know the difference between pain that's
that's
a problem and pain that's progress. My last major catastrophic fracture was June 5th. I'm on Timlos, and I've been on Timlos for 2 weeks.
Okay. First of all, I am so sorry this happened to you, especially when you first have a baby and you want to hold your baby and it hurts. When was the baby, did you deliver?
She was born in February.
Wow. That's a lot to take.
Yeah.
Now, it's hard to tell, but bone pain when you have a compression fracture is a little bit different. I mean, that sharp pain. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that sharp pain when it first happened? It makes you feel like crying and everything tightens up really hard. That's the kind of pain you have to worry about. That achiness that you get, and which you will have, by the way, for 6 months to a year because you've had several levels.
Okay.
It's going to hurt for quite some time. Don't be afraid of it. Yeah. Don't be afraid of it. You can, you know, I wouldn't recommend going out dancing or jumping off boxes, but I would recommend that you do fast walking, elliptical machine. I mean, you need to do some, you know, rowing or bicycling, or actually, I might not bicycle just because of, what was your bone density test? What was your T score and your bone, your Z score on your bone density test?
Yeah, it was 3.1 was my lowest point, and 2.9 was my average. It's not even super low.
Minus 2.9,
as far
correct?
As I understand.
Minus 2.9.
Minus, sorry.
Yeah, that is very low for somebody that's 34 years old. So you do have to do...
Low, but in terms of...
Yeah, in terms of the average, but for your age, it's you do have to do everything you can. I mean, you're going to have to be really strict, super strict with your diet. You have to make sure your digestion is perfect. You have to really take care of yourself. You have to reduce your stress level, and you're in a peak stress right now with a baby and a back injury. That's a lot to take. And you have to address that because stress triggers cortisol, which triggers inflammation, which triggers more bone loss.
Right.
So take care of yourself first.
Okay. Yeah. And I think I, you know, I had, before I got pregnant, I had interstitial cystitis for 5 years, which I believe is a condition that is about inflammation. And I was doing everything I could to try to kind of lower my inflammation, eating very, very carefully, although now I realize maybe I was eating in a way that was too restrictive and I wasn't getting enough kind of the
enough of the good nutrition. And your vitamin D level and everything's good?
That's normal, although they have me on 50,000 IUs a week.
What is your vitamin D level?
I can't remember what it is, but it's sort of, it's right in the middle of that kind of normal range.
Like 60? Okay. All right.
Yep.
And you're taking vitamin K, and you're taking calcium and magnesium. Those are the main ones. There's a lot of other things you could take, like strontium, vitamin C. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other supplements, too. But the main ones are those four.
Yeah, I'm taking Yarrow's, the Bone Up.
Okay, that's fine.
Supplement, which
but
has
that's not enough.
All those things in it.
That's not enough.
That's not enough.
No.
Okay.
You have to supplement that. It's good to take. There's a lot of calcium and different things in there, but it's not enough.
Okay. All right. I guess I should talk to my doctor, too, about other things that I could add. They take that with every meal, and then I try to eat calcium-rich foods. But
all right. Well, thank you for calling, Madeline, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. 800-348-2551. The cortisone shot, that seems to be the cure-all, isn't it? But you can only get it like once every 6 months, maybe?
That's actually a fallacy.
Yeah? Because I know they give them to athletes.
All the time.
All the time, but then they can't give it
But those
day.
Are commodities of athletes, right? They're not real people.
Yeah.
It all depends. There are some studies that show that cortisone, injections could deteriorate the joint. And what we found out, it wasn't so much the cortisone, it was the the Marcaine that we were putting in the joint. We were putting an anesthetic in the joint with it.
Yeah.
And that was the agent that was causing damage to the joint. You know, the fear of cortisone is that it could cause arthritis. Well, by the time somebody needs a shot in their knee because their knee's swollen and hurting and they can't walk, they already have arthritis.
They have it. Yeah.
You know, and if it keeps somebody mobile, especially an elderly person that's not or cannot have surgery or total knee replacement because they're not healthy enough, then cortisone injection keeps them active.
You can't take it by pill. It has to go right into the
Well, it's the equivalent is prednisone, but that has way too many side effects. Yeah. And if you give it in a shot, less than 10% of it carries throughout the rest of the body. So, you know, if somebody needs a shot every 6 months and they're 85 years old, I'll give it to them.
800-348-2551. A new pulse. It's Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi. I heard what you said earlier about being blue-eyed and freckled and having to be aware of something.
Well, the doctor,
I am blue-eyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have won freckle contests, and I'm currently 77.
Well,
what should I be concerned of?
Well, the doctor is blue-eyed and freckled, too, so you're in the same club. What's going on with that?
Okay, so people that have a Northern European root and that are blonde, blue-eyed, or redhead and freckled, they have a higher incidence, a much higher incidence of osteoporosis. So I would get a bone density. Have you ever had a broken bone?
No.
Okay. Anybody in your family?
I'm 77. No.
Okay. And your mom and dad, they were walking straight? Always stood pretty straight?
Yes.
Yeah, you might not be at high risk, but that is one of the associations. So if I see somebody come in my office, especially a skinny little woman with blonde hair, freckles, and blue eyes, I think right away I need to get a bone density test.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Is there any relation to Dupuytren's contraction?
Dupuytren's is an inflammation in the palm of the hand, which causes the fingers to become fixed in a flex position, and it affects your function. It affects your ability to use your fingers, and that is more common. Yes, and it's more. It is inflammation. We don't know exactly why this happens. It's more common in alcoholics, diabetics, and people again of Northern European origin, and in men. But when you think of more common in alcoholics and diabetics, you think of inflammation because those two categories cause a lot of inflammation. So there's some inflammatory component to Dupuytren's, but we don't know much more than that. There's no association between Dupuytren's and osteoporosis.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. Thomas in Gardner, Massachusetts. Tom, go ahead.
Good program once again, very informative, a lot of good questions. I'm 70 years old. I was diagnosed with osteoporosis probably at age 58, and I was on Fosamax every Sunday morning for about 5 years. I had the bone density test, and so far so good. You know, I keep in shape. I'm in cardiac rehab the last 13 years, so I have to keep in shape, and I exercise a lot. The question is, will I always have osteoporosis?
Okay, so why did you get a follow-up bone density test at 5 years when you stopped the Fosamax?
Oh, I must have. I must have.
And was it back to closer to normal?
I can't remember what the readings were.
Because the new studies show that we should keep people on these anti-resorptive agents a little bit longer, especially men, probably 6 to 10 years, if they're not back within a safe range. So I don't know if you're in a safe range, but it does go away if you stay on the medication. Is your vitamin D up to normal? You've got heart disease. You better make sure that your vitamin D is up to normal.
I was never on medication, just the Fosamax every Sunday morning for 5 years, and that was it. That stopped about 6-7 years ago.
Okay, follow-up bone density test. You've already been off of it now for several years. Ask for a follow-up bone density test. If you're still in osteoporosis, get treated. Go back on the medication. You are at high risk.
Okay.
And have your vitamin D level tested and start with vitamin K. You might want to talk to your cardiologist, but you should probably be on vitamin K also.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tom. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Nanette in Hurley, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I am 60 years old. I have started to go to CrossFit, which I find is enjoyable for me. I scale most of the exercises. For my abilities, I do get pain on certain exercises in my knee, especially my left knee, things like lunges and squats. And I just wonder, Should I lay off the CrossFit? Should I not do those motions or do them more to get stronger? Do I need to see a doctor?
That's a great, that's such a fun question. I like CrossFit. I started CrossFit and I thought it was so much fun. I love the community. It's really supportive. It's nice to challenge yourself. The thing, I had to stop because one of the things about it is it really does stress the knee joints. But I don't recommend to stop. I did because I like a lot of other things. I like biking and other sports. But I think you should modify your exercises. What you're describing right now that hurts when you do lunge, squats, or when you bend more, when you bend your knee too far, you engage the kneecap in the groove of the troche of the femur. So you engage the kneecap and it grinds a little bit and it causes anterior knee pain, which is very common. Yes. And it's almost, I mean, that happens so much in people that do CrossFit because they really do the low squats and the lunges. So what you have to do is modify. Don't bend your knees more than 40 degrees. So standing up straight is zero. And then, you know, you can bend to about 40, 45 degrees. 90 degrees is when you're sitting at a chair. So somewhere between sitting and standing. Yet never bend your knee more than about 40 degrees. So if you do a lunge, do a high lunge. If you do a squash, do a high squash. If you're doing box jumping, just do a very low box. Honestly, you can get just as good of a workout by not going so low. Just modify your workouts in order to avoid that anterior knee pain. It can become chronic if you don't address it.
That does work. It does work. If I still sweat quite a lot, even though I do modify. So
well,
that's
you gotta,
good to know.
And if you want to stick with it and do it long term, you're going to have to modify it a lot. But it's a fun thing to do. It's a nice community.
Is there any need to see a doctor? It doesn't hurt when I stop doing it. You know, sometimes if I have a real heavy workout, it might be a little tender. But it usually doesn't hurt if I'm not doing such a thing.
You have to find a way to do modify your CrossFit where you don't get that pain. Otherwise, eventually you'll end up stopping.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Have fun.
Thank you, Nanette. 800-348-2551. Time for perhaps a few more calls. Neil in Port Ewan. Neil, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Neil, and I'm with my wife, Linda. I'll give you a little background. 5 months ago, my wife broke her arm, her elbow in three places. Things seem to heal fine. She goes into a pool every day, does not swim, but moves her arms a great deal, spends maybe an hour in the pool. Now the spot where she broke her arm, she's starting to feel some moderate pain. So my question is the swimming affecting it, or what other thoughts do you have in mind? It's 5 months since the operation.
Does she have her full range of motion? Can she bring her arm all the way straight and bend it all the way? Linda?
Yeah, she has a full range of motion. She's sitting right here. She does.
Okay. And I'm assuming the break went through the joint?
She broke her elbow in three spots. There were three pieces.
And did the pieces go right through the joint?
I'm not sure of that.
Okay. The bones are healed at this point, and you have your full range of motion. Swimming is one of the best things that you can do without, you know, without straining the elbow. You know, weightlifting and push-ups can be pretty hard on your elbow, but swimming is good. However, it does demand full range of motion. When you bring your arm over your head to swim, it really stretches the elbow. It can cause some pain, and I would stick to the swimming a bit longer. Unless the elbow swells up, I would stick to... That's a really good exercise for an elbow fracture. She's lucky she was able to get her full range of motion.
Okay. Can I ask you one other thing?
Sure.
When we went to an orthopedic this morning, they didn't want to even see her without records from Florida with snowbirds. It's going to take 7 days for the records to get here. Would there anybody... She just wanted somebody to take a look at it.
Just call my office. I'm happy to see her.
That's it. Fairview Hospital in Great Barrington. Thank you. Thank
you
very
much. Great Barrington.
Yeah.
We might come up.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling. We are just about out of time. One quick question about pain. You know, it's a subjective thing. pain tells your body you're headed in the wrong direction, but you know, we all have a little bit of pain. So what's that limit that we should be looking for?
That's a really tricky question. And a lot of my patients come in and say, I have knee pain, so I'm just not going to do anything till it goes away.
Yeah.
Well, you have arthritis. It's not going to go away. And if you do nothing, you're going to stay in that chair the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So you have to work around pain. And sometimes as we get older, we have to learn to accept some pain. The point is to be able to build muscle without hurting too much. But that's a hard one. Yeah. And everybody has a different level of pain. You have to work with it. Don't stop.
We are just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in and apologize to the many we left on the line. I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Pierre Boutin of Fairview Hospital in Great Barrington, for joining us today. Support for WAMC and for Medical Monday comes from New York Oncology Hematology, reminding listeners that July is Sarcoma and Bladder Cancer Awareness Month. NewYorkOncology.com for information about warning signs and screenings. Thanks again for joining us today. Our engineer, Zach Malloy, calls answered by Joe Makowitz. Producer Jim Lavoulis, I'm Brian Shields. Tomorrow it's all about computers. Stay tuned now for The Media Project.